That's what I'm talking to you about right now. Give me a break. And I was going to come up and say, well, this is something that must be God really wants us to grab a hold of. The power of the pause. Amen? And because it is something that we really need. Because we are busy. Life is a whirlwind. There's so much going on. Even today, more than ever, I find myself busier than ever before. I mean, it seems like time is speeding up. It seems like, you know, with the technology and all those things that are going on, it's just like there's just so much surrounding us, so much buzz going around us. And it's just sometimes we just, you know, some of you who are more of my age will remember Calgon, take me away, you know. And, you know, we just sometimes feel like we need to just get away from it all and take a break. And God knows that we need that. We need to know the power of the pause. The power of the pause. You know, the Bible does talk all the time about taking a break and taking a pause and getting away. You know, I look at, you know, us as, you know, and women especially, us as women, we're just doing, 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 doing. We have our family, we have our kids, some of us have, you know, outside employment outside the home, or sometimes now employment in the home, or classes, or it just seems like there's so much. And we are doers a lot of times by nature. We're nurturers, we're doers, and we do so much. I think of the virtuous woman, the Proverbs 31 woman. The one that we all want to aspire to, right? and we know that she has a level of excellence, right? Then, as Margie shared, she's just, it's excellence and quality in everything she does. But I used to read this, and I'm this isn't a message about the Proverbs 31 women, so you can all, like, take a breath. But, you know, I mean, you know, I look at this virtuous wife, and it says in verse 10 of 31, who can find a virtuous wife, for all her worth is far above rubies? That's nice, isn't it? Yes. Your worth is far above rubies, a virtuous woman. So, yes, you have value. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's good. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. So this woman is up all night and rises in the morning. When does she ever get a break? I don't know. You know what? It's like, okay, so I've got to stay up late, you know, and she doesn't have like the home delivery here or anything. She goes out and gets her food and plants her vineyard and does all this. Can you imagine? When does she get a break? She stretches out her hands to the she does all this stuff. She extends to the poor. She just does all these things. She's not afraid of snow for her household. For all her household is clothed with scarlet. We know about that here in this part of the country. She sews, she gets food, she does all these things. And after all these things, it says her children rise and call her blessed. And everything is good. But I think that this is like a type of the excellence. But I do feel like we sometimes get in a mode where we've got to do this. And I've got to clean the house, and I've got to do the kids, and I've got to have good, and I've got to do this, and we don't realize that we've got to take a pause. We don't understand the power of the pause. And I even want to say this, sometimes we feel guilty for taking a break. We feel guilty, and if anything I do, I don't know how much time I have. Do I have how much time? I didn't ask that. I should have asked that first. If anything I want to do, oh, they have a timer. That's awesome. The countdown. Oh, now you can all look and see how much time. if anything that I want to do, I want to give you permission to take a break today. I want to give you permission. I just recently saw a friend of ours, and the ladies from Lighthouse might have seen this, but I just saw a friend of mine on Facebook write a post, and she was asking about, I'm just feeling depleted. I'm feeling overwhelmed. How do I get it all done? What am I supposed to do? You know, and everyone was writing, you know, you don't have to, you know, say no to some things, you know, you don't have to do everything. And it's so true. But I don't think we feel like that. Sometimes it's easy to say it to someone else, you don't have to do everything. But then we get into our own life, you know, in our own daily living, and we're like, we feel like we have to do it all. You know, we feel like we have to do everything. And God was saying, take a pause. You need a break. You deserve a break. Can I say that? It's okay to take a break. It's okay. You know, a saying I used to say when my kids were little, and I still say it today, the dirt you will always have with you. You clean it, and it will always come back. So take a break. Don't worry. You know, and sometimes you just need to do that, to just take a break. You know, in the Bible, in the Psalms, and all throughout the Bible, there's this word that keeps coming up. And it's Selah. It's a word, Selah. And if you read Psalms or if you read Habakkuk or some of the books, there's reframes of praising God, or there's reframes of the greatness of God, or there's reframes of the power of God and who he is. And then there's this word that says Selah. And this word Selah, it means to pause. Now, some people think it's a pause in the music, but you know, the pause in the music is like when you pause and you take a breath for what's coming next. And I said, yeah, that's what we've got to do. We've got to take a breath. This word Selah means to pause, to stop, to take a breather. In fact, that's what the word pause means, to stop, to take a break, to break away from something, to breathe. And we've got, and that's what God wants us to do. And when they take a Selah, when they take a pause, it's to think about, to meditate on who God is, and to praise him, to praise who God is. God gave us the Sabbath for a reason. Pause means to have an interruption, to rest. And sometimes we don't feel like we can interrupt our day or interrupt what's going on. Do you know there's these two guys, one's John Wesley and one's Charles Wesley? One of them was a great preacher, one of them was a great hymnist, wrote hymns, and their mom, her name was Susanna, she used to take a break. And this is how she took a break. Now, I don't know if we could all do this, but the kids, she had like something like 12 kids or something. I mean, she had like a brood of kids. I mean, she had a lot of kids, can you imagine? And she used to put her apron over her head. And the kids knew that she was having time with God. She was taking a pause. And that's what she would do. She'd put her apron over her head to take a pause with God, to take a break, to just be, to just breathe. I want to give you my three-part way to take a pause. Break, breathe, and be. Just break. Sometimes you know you need a break when you're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling like stressed out. You're getting upset because you're trying to wrap a birthday present and the tape dispenser ran out, and then you get your new tape dispenser and you can't get the tape to unstick off the roll because the little paper tab broke, and you get so stressed out, you get so mad. It's like, what's going on? Real story. You know you need a break. And that's why God wants us to take a pause. Because he knows that we're going to dissipate, we're going to burn out, we're going to lose it if we don't take a break, if we don't take a pause. Break, and then breathe. Breathe in his spirit. Breathe him in. Take a breath from God. I think breath, I love the analogy. Do it right now. Breathe. And exhale. Doesn't that feel good? But sometimes we just feel guilty when we do that, when we just stop, because we're not supposed to do that. We feel like we're wasting our time, or we're going to hear that question at the end of the day. What'd you do all day? Why didn't you get that done? You should never ask these questions. I know I'm talking to the wrong group, but sometimes, I would, even when my kids were little, you know, the dishes needed to be done, the laundry needed to be done, but I would just stop and I would enjoy my kids. I would just stop and be with them. Just be, it doesn't, you know, the dishes and the dirt, you'll always have with you. But your kiddies are growing up. And you won't always have them. So take a break. It doesn't matter if it doesn't get done. Really, truthfully, honestly, it doesn't matter. God knows. Just take a break. Just be with your kids. Sing a song. Have a cup of coffee. You know? Just breathe and take a breather. In Exodus 33:14, Jesus said to Moses, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." When we take a break, when we break and when we breathe and when we be aware of his presence. Be aware of his presence with you. So if we don't take a break, the reasons we get stressed out, the reasons that we burn out, it's because of worry, anxiety. We're taking too much on because of loss of identity. When you're busy doing, running, and you don't feel like you can say no to anything, because I'm a good Christian woman and I want to be a good woman, I want to say yes, that, you know, they asked me to make 30 dozen cookies for this weekend, and I've got to do it, and, you know, and I don't work outside the home. I'm home, so why shouldn't I be able to do that? And what will every, you know, and it's selfish of me to think that I can't do that, or I can't be a part of the play at school, or the play, and, you know, or I can't do that, and then we run ourselves ragged, and we find ourselves getting. And that was what happened with Martha, wasn't it? Mary and Martha. Now, there's all different ways we can look at Mary and Martha, but one of the things Jesus was saying was, "Martha, you are worried about so many things." He was saying, "Martha, you're stressed out. Chill. I mean, I'm serious." That's what he was saying to her. "You are stressed out. Breathe," was what he was saying. "You are stressed out. Take a break and sit at my feet. Take a break and breathe. Take a break and be with me." That's what he was saying to Martha. He wasn't saying that, well, the dinner doesn't need to be prepared, or the things she was doing were unknown. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, everything will take it, you know, even if we all have our little study here and we all get up and help you, I don't know. But but some of us, you know, sometimes I've started, you know, I'm busy, busy, busy. Last night I had a big dinner party at my house, and I woke up this morning. It was an hour and a half to drive here, and it's just, you know, it's busy all the time. I feel like I'm busier now than I've ever been, you know, since we moved over to Lima and to Elam. And actually, I live right down the road from Margie and Rush, too, right? but, you know, I'm like, hey, I used to like try to do everything myself, you know, get the dinner ready and set the table and do it all. And now I'm like, hey, can some of you come and help set the table? And the first time I asked my husband to set the table, he was like, what? But it's okay to ask him to help set the table and help him, you know, can you get the drink? You know, I'm stirring pots on the stove. Can you get the drinks for the people while they're waiting for, you know? And those kinds of things, it's okay, you know, to do that. So we don't get all stressed out. And so we don't lose who we are in the process. We find who we are where? In his presence. We find who we are when we pause. We find who we are when we take a break. Be you who God made you to be. When we gaze upon him, we are changed. We are transformed. We become more of who he wants us to be, more of who he created you to be. When we take a break and we take those times to pause in his presence. He says, my presence will be with you, but sometimes we have to take that break. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When he says rest, we're not talking about sleep. We're talking about awake rest. Awake rest. By the way, the average person needs 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. I'm just saying. Because, I mean, sometimes, and some, that's another thing, you know? Is that we got staying up late on this project, but then we got to get up early with the kids, or we got to rise and shine, you know? And if you go to bed late, take some extra time. I mean, you really need that. That's been scientifically proven. So, you know, I personally need 8 hours, and I take that now. I take my 8 hours. I try to make sure. I mean, not every night you can, but mostly I try to make sure. My husband's family, they were all like it seemed like they were like they could run on whatever vapors. They were. They only need, I don't know, like 5 hours of sleep, but it catches up. I'm just saying. But they, you know, they. They would only need like 5 hours of sleep at night. When we first would go there, when I first met my husband, we were engaged, and I would be like sleeping past a couple hours past all of them. They're out there going, what's wrong with her? Wow, she's really sleeping late. You know, it was 7 o'clock. And there used to be something in me that would feel like, well, if I get more than 7 hours of sleep, you know, maybe I'm, you know, taking a liberty. But no. So it's okay. So I'm giving you permission to sleep 8 hours too. Or even 9 if you're that kind of person. So go ahead. Tell them Carol told you at the retreat. I can sleep. No. The Lord made us that way. Sleep and rest are good. They labor in vain unless the Lord builds the house. They labor in vain who build it. So get your rest. Take your sleep. Psalm 127. Get your rest. The Proverbs talks about the wise woman who builds up her house. The foolish one tears it down, but the wise woman builds up her house. So that psalm is for us, ladies. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Unless he's doing it, unless he's with us, unless we have his strength. Anything we do, it's not by might or by power, but it's by his spirit. And we have to take the break to breathe. To breathe him. To breathe his spirit. And to be aware of his presence, to be who you are, who he made you to be. Find out who you are by spending time with him. By spending time with him. And finding out that you are who you are by just being, not doing. Because sometimes we feel that, especially women, we get what we do. I really think we get what we do so wrapped up in our identity. This is who I am. This is what I do. I'm a homemaker. I'm a mother. You know, my kids are all grown up. They're 23, 25, and 27. And, you know, sometimes when your kids grow up and go, it's like they don't need me like they needed me before, you know? And it's hard because sometimes we can get caught up in the identity of that's who I was. I took care of my kids. Now they're like, Mom, give me a break. You know, they need a break from Mom. You know, and I have a grandson now. He was born this year, so I'm a grandma now. So it's a new identity. But we can easily get caught up in what we're doing versus who we are in him. And it's not easy to realize it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm invisible tending the garden, and that wouldn't be my cup of tea, but we had a farmer in our church, which this has nothing to do with my message either. We had a farmer in our church. Michelle will know who he is. And he had a him and his wife were always trying to get me to come over and plant things with them and pick things with them and everything. I was like, I got something going today. I can't. So he came up to me in church one time and said, I had this dream and you just had your hands in the dirt and you were digging. And I was like, well, that must have some kind of spiritual application because that's not going to happen. So if you get me a plant, get an artificial one because they don't survive in my house. So, but it's, you know, even it's, no matter what we're doing, mopping the floor, you know, changing a dirty diaper, whatever we're doing, it's who you are because of who God says you are and who you are in Him. It's about being who you are, a daughter of the King, a child of God. And it's not about what you're doing, not about what you're doing. There's so many of us who are going to get said to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And we'll be like, what did I do? I wasn't some great preacher. I wasn't some great, you know, I wasn't famous writing songs and up on a stage. I wasn't like evangelizing the nation. What do you mean, well done, good and faithful servant? Because you were you in me. And you loved me and I loved you. And that's good enough. That is enough. That is what He wants. Did you be who I called you to be in your life here? Because if we do anything else, it's not going to go into eternity. It's going to be for this life and this life alone. And that's not the better thing. So we got to make time, not spinning our wheels, going through our days. I don't have time to stop and breathe. I don't have time to take a break. I don't have time because, you know, I got to get all these things done, and then I'll sit at the Lord's feet. And then the day goes by, and the day is gone. Then the next day, well, I don't have time. And then the week goes by, and then a month goes by, and then a year goes by. And we lose our identity in Him. We get burnt out, stressed out, overwhelmed. And instead of taking a break, we break down. And we feel like we don't have a breath left in us to take. But God is about the redeeming and restoration business too. So if anyone has felt like, oh man, I just feel like I am totally depleted and there's not a breath left in me, God wants to breathe fresh in you today. Let Him breathe fresh in you today. And remember to break, breathe, and be. Amen? He's telling you to do that. I found this excerpt. You might know this devotional. It's called Jesus Calling. Jesus Calling. And it's about our everyday life. And it says, I am calling you to a life of constant communion with me. Basic training includes learning to live above your circumstances, even while interacting on that cluttered plane of life. You yearn for a simplified lifestyle so that your communication with me can be uninterrupted. But I challenge you to relinquish the fantasy of an uncluttered world, accept each day as it comes, and find me in the midst of it all. Talk with me about every aspect of your day, including your feelings. Remember that your ultimate goal is not to control or fix everything around you. We've tried to do that. It is to keep communing with me. With him. A successful day is one in which you have stayed in touch with me. Even if many things remain undone at the end of the day, do not let your to-do list, written or mental, become an idol directing your life. See, that's what happens. Instead, ask my spirit to guide you moment by moment. He will keep you close to me. Amen? He will keep you close to me. Things that rob our rest, our worry, sometimes change. Tragic things that come into our lives. He wants us to learn from Him. He doesn't take rest from us. He gives us rest. He said, take my yoke. Come to me if you are weary and heavy laden. Take my rest. receive my rest, and we take it from him, and we receive it, and that's where we find our rest. When we take a break, when we stop to pause in him, in him. He will give us that rest. So I already said it. Take a break, breathe, and be you. Be you. Listen, there's a daily grind, a daily grind. We've got to take those pauses. We've got to take those breaks. Sometimes, you know, when we're getting stressed out, and we've got to find it in him, but he might be saying to you, he might be saying things like, call a friend and go out for a cup of coffee. He might be saying that to you. Oh, I don't have time to do that. I can't do that. You need to find time from your daily, whatever it is, your job, your home, your whatever it is. You got to find those times to break. And it's okay to take care of yourself. That's another thing. We don't. Oh, I don't exercise. Oh, I don't want to. I don't, you know. When I have young moms, and they're like, they're going around, and they like, I haven't taken a shower in 2 days because I just can't leave. I'm like, put the baby in the crib and let them cry and take a shower. They'll be okay. It's all right. Take a break, you know? Take your shower. My daughter, she did that at first. She was like, I don't know what I could. I said, Sarah, it's not going to hurt him to put him in a safe place and let him cry a little bit, and he'll be fine, because you're going to come out of the shower and you're going to get him, and, you know. And, you know, sometimes we just don't feel like we can do that. But we can, you know. Sit down and, you know, get, what do you like to do? You know, maybe something you like to do, a hobby, something you like to do. You know, when my kids were little, I did the worship in our church. And for me, I loved doing that. It wasn't like something that was draining to me. I was like all about it, you know. And my husband stayed home one night a week so I can go and do the worship team at our church years ago. He stayed, like, I don't know what your situation is, but maybe, you know, if you have small children and you need to say, honey, can you stay home and be with the kids? Your husband is not babysitting. He's their father. Can you stay with them so I can go out, amen, so I can go out to dinner with the girls, or so I can go, you know, go shopping, you know, or so I can do whatever, go to a book club or something that fuels you, you know. God wants you to do that too. He wants you to have those times to just break free. And breather times. It's you're not a bad mom because you just want a break from the kids. You're not, really. And this is another thing. I don't know how many have small children at home, or you still have kids at home. But I remember, and I thought I was the only one. I remember, like, losing my patience in the day, and like, you know, I felt like I was just saying no all day and getting, and, you know, doing a little discipline all day. You know, I felt like it was just like one of those days where it's like, you know. And then I put them to bed, and they're sleeping, and they're like, they're such, what a little angel, you know. And then you think of the day, and you go, I'm such a bad mom. I'm so bad. I'll be better tomorrow, I promise. You know, and, you know, you're not a failure. You've got to, you know, God wants you to be released of that. Remember that. And you're not the only one that goes through that. I thought at the time, I'm like, I'm the only one that I would hear other people. I'm like, really? That happens to you too? And, but you're not. You're not. So don't get wrapped up in that. Be released. Be released of feeling like you're a bad mom, feeling like you're a failure. If I leave my kids, if I feel like I need a break from my kids, I'm a bad mom. Oh, man. When my kids were little, you know, I had this conviction that I had to homeschool my kids. Oh, I wanted to homeschool my kids. I felt the Lord was calling me to homeschool my children. So I don't know what is out here, what side of the fence anyone is on, or either way. But I felt from the Lord that I was mandated to homeschool my children. But I wisely said at the time, I'm taking 1 year at a time. So, oh, are you going to homeschool them up to eighth grade? Are you going to homeschool them up to high school? And I was like, I'm taking it 1 year at a time. We're going to see how it works out. But you know what happened to me? I got so caught up in doing that. Then when the time came that I needed to say, this is over. I went under this tremendous guilt, and somehow I got it where I equated being a good mother meant I had to homeschool my kids. If I didn't homeschool my kids, I wasn't a good mother. And I had to break free of that. I had to break free because it wasn't working anymore. God didn't want me to do it anymore. And sometimes I feel like we feel guilty for feeling like, oh, this needs to stop, or I need a break. And I'm not, whatever, it's whatever the Lord wants you to do. I'm not saying one over the other. It worked out really good for us. But, you know, whatever, but I'm saying when it was time, I couldn't let go of that identity. Or if being, you know, I got to be a good mom, and that's what this means. No, taking a break, sometimes you got to take a break from those things. And see, that's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ. And take a break and find out from Him, God, what are you calling me to do? What do you want me to do? What, not what they're doing, what do you want me to do? He gave me that word long time ago, that I was not to look at any other woman in my situation. My husband and I went to our church in 1988. And, yes, 88. And we went to this church, and it was this little church, and we were both really involved in the church and very involved in the church. And then I started having children. And I had to find out, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Not that other pastor's wife, not that other, you know, woman over there. What am I supposed to do? Because I could think, well, I'm supposed to drop everything and be home with the kids. Or I could think, oh, I'm supposed to do it all. Or you know, oh, I'm supposed to, maybe I should learn piano. But, you know, but the Lord gave me that word, and I wrote it in my journal. And I said, when I got saved, everything, I'm taking a break from that. But when I got saved, I was radically saved in 1983, radically saved. And everything that the pastor said, I was like, yeah, I got to do that. You know, like anytime the church doors were open, like I was there. I was there for the children's program. I was there for the senior citizens lunch, you know, and I just went. I didn't know. Later on, I found out that nobody else goes to the senior citizen lunch but the senior citizens, you know. But I didn't got the church was open and there was something going on, so I had to be there. You know, that's how it was for me. And when the pat, you know, and so I didn't have issue, you know, I had, because I wanted to please God, you know. So when the pastor talked about, you know, tithing and how we're supposed to tithe, I was like, well, if that's in the Bible, I'm going to do that. And that, so I've always done that. And when the whatever, you know, when he said, pray for the best. So anyway, you know, if that's what God's word said, well, then that's what I'm going to do. And, but he said this one thing. He said, sometimes it's good to keep a journal and write your prayers and write the words that God says to you. So I did that. And God's got your back. Let me tell you something. God will make a way. If you need a break, God will make a way. And I kept a journal. What was I saying before? I was like, oh, the journal. Okay. Yes. And so I wrote things down in that journal. And God said to me, it was when my daughter was two and I was expecting my second Josiah. And God, one of the things I wrote in the journal, because I want to get specific now, was he told me not to compare myself with anyone else. He said, I have a plan for you, and I have a way for you, and I will show you that way. And so don't look at her and say, well, she's not doing it that way, and don't look at her and say, she's not doing that way, but do the way I showed you to do. Because I was asking the Lord about just my place, what I'm supposed to do. I had a two-year-old and a baby on the way. I was doing things in the church, and I was like, should I stop doing everything in the church? Should I just focus here? Should I do this? You know, I was just saying, what am I going to do now? Because it seems like I'm going to be really busy, and I wanted to be with the kids. And so he told me, I wrote this thing down in my journal, and he said, not to compare myself. And then he said, your children are going to be blessed for your obedience. And then he said, and I will provide a safe haven for them. And I knew that it meant that maybe if there were times that I needed, he said, I will provide a safe haven. Now, my parents and my husband's parents were far away, out of state, plus they weren't real close with our kids. But this was when my daughter was two, Sarah. Now, I keep all my journals. I've kept every single one from when I first started writing them. They're all in a little, you know, Sterilite plastic bin, but I've kept them all. And about two, and I'm really saying this, you know, because to know that God makes a way. And if God calls you to something, or if he calls you to take a break, he is going to promise you a way to fulfill it. And he said to me, he said, I will provide, and I wrote all that down. 5 years later, my daughter Sarah is seven, Josiah is five, and I have Elijah who's three. 5 years. This woman had been coming to our church for a year. And she calls me up one day. It's Sharon. Sharon Haynes. She calls me up one day, and she says, can I come and talk to you about something the Lord showed me this morning? It was a Sunday afternoon. Showed me in church this morning. I said, sure, come on over. So she comes over. She says to me, now, I'm a mom. And she goes, She goes, I will understand if you say I'm a crazy lady and you kick me out of your house. That's what she said. I'm like, okay. So she said, but this morning you were up on the platform leading worship, and she said, and I was looking across, and she goes, and my eyes fell on you, and she said, and the Lord says to me, you know I've called her with her husband in ministry. And she goes, oh yes, that's wonderful, Lord, that's beautiful. And then she goes, and then the Lord said to me, and I promised her a safe haven for her children. And she was like, and I'm just, when she said that, I'm like, I mean, a safe haven, you know, who says that? Who talks like that? So it was the exact, and then she said, and she goes, oh, that's nice, Lord. And then he said to me, and I want you to be the answer to that promise. I mean, can you imagine? But that's not just for me. That's for all of you. That's how God is with us. He keeps his promises. He knows what he has for you. He knows what he has said to you. He knows what he wants to accomplish in you and through you. He knows, and he will do it. He is faithful. That blew me away. I went and got my journal out. I found it, and I opened it to the page 5 years earlier where I wrote that and showed it to her, and we cried. She's been a grandmother to my children. She sat at, well, when all my kids got married, she sat at the family table in the front. My daughter wore her pearls when she got married. She came to all Christmas, Thanksgiving. She bought them presents, more presents than they ever got from their natural grandparents. She came to their grandparents' day and special friends' day at school. She became that. And God knew. God knew. And when he says something to you, find out what he's saying to you. Find out what he's saying to you. For you, and whatever he promises, he will fulfill it, and he will do it. That's what happens when we take a pause, when we take a break, and breathe, and be, and say, God, what is it for me? Show me your way for me. It's okay to get away. It's okay to say no. It's okay to limit yourself. Don't overschedule yourself. Yeah, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. Sometimes my husband and I schedule so many things, and I'm starting to say to him, look around the calendar, because this date is open, but there's this and this and this, and this, and it can get overwhelming. It's okay to say no. Learn to say no. Let's say, God, is this something I say no to, or is this something I say yes to? So we need to take a break. We need to take a pause. We need to Selah and breathe and think about it for a minute. Think about, okay, I'm getting stressed out. Think about this, Lord. Okay. Okay, God. And get strength from him in throughout your day. Throughout your day. Get strength from him. And there's two things that the Lord said, especially that I want to, before I end, I want to say that some of you here need a break from worry And you need a break from regret. Because those things will take you out. They will kill you. And God doesn't want that for you. That's why he wants you to break. Take a break. Some of us, ladies, we can worry like it's our job. We can worry like it's our job to worry. If I'm not worried about that, who else is going to worry about it? Someone's got to worry about it because, you know, something's going to happen. If I don't worry about it, as if my worrying about it is protecting, you know, the thing, you know, from happening. And the Bible says, well, who of us can add a hair to our head or a minute to our life or whatever by worrying? But yet we worry. And God wants us to stop worrying. Take a break and get our eyes on him. Get our eyes on him. He keeps her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Because we've got to trust him for all of that. Let it go. Take a break from worry. See, sometimes it's hard to let go because we just keep our eyes on the situation. We keep our eyes on the circumstance. I have the story I tell about my son Josiah when we were in Disney World, and he was with me in this open area, standing next to me, and all of a sudden he got distracted by these Disney princesses that walked by. And then when they were gone, he was like all of a sudden panic. He was panicking because he thought, it was like, where's mom now? And the Lord said, that's what we do. We get our eyes on the situation. We get our eyes on the circumstance, and we forget. He's like, I'm here. I'm right. Because I looked down. I said, Josiah, I'm right here. Never left you. And he says, that's what happens. We worry. Our mind is on the thing. Worry, obsess, and worry. And he says, you got to get your eyes off of that. And if you get your eyes off of that and on me, you're going to find rest. You're going to find a break from the worry. Think about him. That's why we take a pause to get our mind on whatever is good, whatever is lovely, the good report of him, whatever is noble. That's what you do. That's what you do. You start to, when I have a lot of things in my life right now I'm worrying about, but when that starts to try and crowd my mind and invade my heart and my mind, all of a sudden now I remember, okay, Lord, I'm going to remember that you are for me, not against me. You love them, you and for them, not against them. You love them. You promise that it's going to work out. It's going to work out, even though it doesn't work out the way I think it should work out. But somehow, Lord, it's going to work out in you. You got to remember that. He's going to bring us through whatever it is. He's going to bring us through. Boy, and I could tell you about a thing about that, but he's going to bring you through. So take a pause from your worry. Break from it. Breathe and be. Be thinking of him. Be aware of him. Be with him. And become you, who he's called you to be. And then regret. Take a break from living in the what ifs. So many of us, ladies, and I know, what if only I've done this, if only this had been different, if only, you know, I'm watching my mom right now go through. She just goes through regret every time I talk. I just spoke to her on the way here. She was in a car accident yesterday. She's all right, but the car, she's 82, and she's probably not going to get her license. She wants to live in her house, but she's just full of regret. And every time I talk to her, she's like, I wish I did this different. I wish. And I'm like, Mom, it's okay. You did your best. And even now, I'm like, it breaks my heart because it's a torment. Regret will torment you. And God's saying today, and if any, I could say anything to you today, God wants you to break free of the what if only I had. If you find yourself saying, I wish that would have been different. If only I had done this. If only I didn't do that. What if? And you're just living in a cycle of regret. God says, he's got a future for you. You're still here. And he's got a future for you. But your future is going to pass by, and you're not going to realize it if you're in the cycle of regret. So he wants to break. And if that's you today, I just pray you'll be broke free of that today. Take a break. Pause. A permanent pause. Break from it. And breathe. I want to give you permission today to take a break. All right? Break. breathe, and be. Amen. Amen.